Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the CICC, and I'm here with Priscilla Weigel, a consultant with the Center for Inclusive Childcare. Welcome, Priscilla.
Thanks.
Glad to have you back.
Good to be here.
We've been having a lot of really great discussions about children and some of the challenges that you sometimes see as you go into childcare programs. And today we thought we would continue our discussion and maybe delve into the topic of self-regulation.
Okay.
And what I thought we might start out with is to have you describe maybe some of the children or situations that you've seen when it comes to children and some of the self-regulatory concerns that they may that you may see as you go into programs.
Okay. As we look at self-regulation, that can show up in a lot of different areas. Primarily, one of the most common areas that it's seen is when providers or teachers, they're trying to encourage the children to be focused and more directed on a specific task, and then you may see a child who's just really unable to do that at that time, where they're grabbing other people's things, or they're sitting on top of people, or leaning, or just constantly trying to make it more exciting for themselves. You kind of can see that that's what they're doing. They're having a hard time holding it together. So instead of looking at that child as this child with these big behavior issues, really looking at what's going on here. Is this a skill development issue? Where are there needs in the self-regulation area? Does this child know how to kind of rein it in and say, oh, I'm supposed to be focused right now. That's hard for me to do. What do I need to be successful at doing? How do I get what I need and the tools that I need to be successful sitting here and listening? And so then that's that provider, that professional, that's our job to say, okay, I see this child, he's struggling, she's struggling, what do I need to set him up for success? Maybe it means not sitting them next to their best buddy who they tend to rough and tumble with, because that's just too tempting for them, and they just are automatically pulled into that. Or maybe it means breaking the task down into smaller pieces because they can handle that first step, and then we can move on. And that's going to teach them self-regulation. It's going to teach them that focus. And that's just a few examples of just when you look at teacher-directed activities. Self-regulation out in the play and the interaction socially, you can see that as you watch the child who you just sense is getting more and more revved up. And instead of maybe saying to themselves, and this is hard to do, boy, I'm getting too worked up, I'm getting too excited, I can tell that I'm losing control, I'm going to go over and read a book. Most children have a difficult time making that transition. Some adults have a challenging time. As adults, what do? When we feel like we're kind of too revved up, we maybe will turn on some calming music, or maybe we'll go sit quietly and do something different. We'll shift gears. A child doesn't always know that's what I need at that time. And it's our job to say, boy, it looks like your engine's going way too fast. Feel your heartbeat. And then have the child just get those signals that they can, as an individual person, understand how to read their body signals and to say, wow, I'm looking at the kids around me and they're all crying. Why is that? You know, helping the teacher and the provider understand that they need to kind of draw attention to the fact that that child needs to shift gears. And then what do you do? How do you help them shift gears? Saying, you know what? Boy, I can tell you we're really having a lot of fun at the Legos, but right now you're throwing them. Let's go over and I have this really cool story I want to read to you. And that'll help your engine slow down a little bit, and then we can come back to the Legos. Your body is showing me that it needs to take a break right now, and then we'll come back. So you're saying to that child with your words, this is what's going on. These are the signals you're looking for, kiddo. We're going to go over here, take a break. And then after the story, say, oh, that feels better for me. I can tell. Check your engine and put their hand on their heartbeat. Wow, that's a lot slower than it was earlier. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you're going to help them with those skills starting as early as you can. When you see a child, that even a two-year-old who's just getting wound up, you need to help them by providing those buffers and those strategies. And a lot of it is just are talking them through and educating them about what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Those are wonderful tools for your toolbox. And as you said earlier, skill development, both for the child who's mm-hmm. needing to learn self-regulation and also for the professional who's working for with the child, giving them some ideas on how to better guide children as they're growing. And you mentioned sort of some age groups. And we do see, I think, that self-regulation is different mm-hmm. for toddlers mm-hmm. and preschoolers, and we have certainly need to have different expectations mm-hmm. for toddlers than we do for preschoolers. And so how does that play out sometimes in your work as a consultant in terms of helping providers sort of set reasonable expectations for toddlers' ability to control some of their, for example, aggression, mm-hmm. Compared to a preschooler who might be four, or and their ability then to begin to regulate some of their reactions to their peers.
So you look at the language that you use as a provider, as a professional, saying to the child, too scary or too much. That's too much, you know, too many toys. We're going to just pick three, one, two, three, because sometimes you see that kind of hoarding mentality when mm-hmm. you're with toddlers where they just want everything, and you can see that it's just getting out of control, just as one example. And so just using pat phrases that are repeated across the staff, whoever's working with that child, so they get to know that that's the trigger, that's the reminder, oh, too big, too much, you know, that too loud, too scary, you know, and so they can know when they hear those phrases, oh, take it down a notch. Mm-hmm. And they start to get that, and it's amazing. They really do. Or maybe even just saying, oh, do you need a big squeeze? Your body's going too fast. Let's have a big squeeze. And then let that child go back to what they're doing. But it just helps them kind of pull out, take a break, go back in. And it doesn't stifle them from their exploration, because that's their job. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be taking in a lot of information. But what it does is it just helps kind of break that pattern of getting like a tornado in the room, where you can see that visually, where mm-hmm. some children, they will just, you can just watch them, and they just pow, 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 all around a room, trying everything out because they just can't focus at that point. And mm-hmm. so then it's our job to help them focus. But when you move to a preschooler, you can use more verbal cues because they have a level of understanding that's more developed than a child that is a toddler. So you can talk to them about, boy, you know what? I can see that made you angry. And you talk about that emotional piece, those feelings and all the things that, and I think we're going to be talking about that in maybe the next couple podcasts. But also just helping them with the verbal triggers again, but you can expand on those thoughts a little bit more so that they can pull from that and use that as their mm-hmm. own tool when you're not around. That's mm-hmm. our job, mm-hmm. is to provide them with the tools that they need so that when we're not there, they can understand those body triggers, those behavior triggers, those emotional things that happen within them that tell them, okay, it's my time. Now I need to go find something quiet to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the more consistent we are and the more on top of it we are, mm-hmm. if we're watching and supporting and shadowing children that are having challenges in these areas, we're going to provide them with those special tools, that piece of equipment that they need to be successful when they take it outside of our care.
That's excellent, Priscilla. I like to really say that self-regulation is one of the most important skill sets we can give a young mm-hmm. child. It's going to carry into their adulthood. And I really believe that self-regulation permeates a child's learning when they mm-hmm. get into school. It permeates their social relationships. It really is, as an emotional milestone, one of the most important milestones to master, mm-hmm. and really we can come at it in so many different ways, in hundreds of different ways, mm-hmm. in our interactions with kids throughout the week or even every day. There's dozens of different ways to help children wait, help children share, help children with our consistency and our secure environments. And so that I always think about the intentionality of our interactions, and mm-hmm. if we can get professionals to really think about the interaction and what it's saying in terms of contributing to a child's social emotional development, then we've really made a difference for that child. Mm-hmm. I appreciate this so much. This has been a great discussion today, and we are going to segue this into some more discussions on children's social and emotional development. So thank you, Priscilla.
Great. Thank you.
That's all for now. See